بسم الله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله ومن ولا وبعد. الحمد لله. The praise belongs to Allah indeed for blessing us with this tremendous opportunity and having reached the month of Ramadan, enabling us to enjoy this tremendous opportunity, which is indeed a mercy from Allah and a favor. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, this is going to be our first talk for Ramadan, and inshallah in the coming weeks we'll continue until the end of the month with topics that are pretty much centered around things necessary for us to be conscious of and to be aware of during the month of Ramadan. Our first topic tonight is going to be the ayats of fasting from Surah Al-Baqarah, ayats 183, 184, and 185, and perhaps 186 as well, but especially the first three ayats from the tafsir of Shaykh Abdul Rahman As-Sa'di, rahimahullah, rahmatan wasiya. These ayats remind us of the importance of fasting, the wisdom behind fasting, Allah's mercy and compassion upon the believers in facilitating ease for those who found difficulty due to special circumstances, and the tremendous blessing, yani, that took place during the month of Ramadan, that is the initial sending down of the revelation of the Quran. So these ayats all center around fasting and the importance of fasting in the month of Ramadan and its special position or state amongst the other months of the year. So let us begin. And if we have some time in the end, inshallah, perhaps we're going to try to mention a few matters of advice, some of the sunan practices for the person who is fasting, especially for those who may not have had a lot of experience fasting Ramadan, some of the important sunnah practices, and some other benefits and words of advice for every fasting person, and especially those who might be doing this for the first time. Okay, so we're going to be reading from, as I said, Surah Al-Baqarah, second surah, 183, 184, 185, and maybe 186, which begin with the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, بعد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام كما كتب على الذين من قبلكم لعلكم تتقون. All you who believe, الصيام, fasting, has been prescribed for you, يعني has been made obligatory upon you, in the same way, يعني the obligation, in the same way that it was made obligatory, fasting was made obligatory on those before you, so that you will attain a taqwa. This is the first ayah 183, we'll go with the tafsir ayah, one ayah at a time, inshallah. So the Shaykh Abdul Rahman As-Sa'di, rahimahullah, he says, يُخْبِرُ تَعَالَى بِمَا مَنَّ بِهِ عَلَى عِبَادِهِ. Yani Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, He is informing us of that which He has favored the believers, His worshippers, with. Yani this is a favor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to the believers. بِأَنَّهُ فَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمَ السِّيَامِ. Yani the legislation of making fasting obligatory upon the believers, this is a minna, yani a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah is informing us of His favor upon His worshippers in having made the fast obligatory upon them, just as He made it obligatory upon the earlier nations. لِأَنَّهُ مِنَ الشَّرَاعِ وَالْأَوَامِرِ أَلَّتِي هِيَ مَصْلَحَةٌ لِلْخَلْقِ فِي كُلِّ زَمَانٍ. And this, making the fasting obligatory upon the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, just as He made it obligatory upon the previous nations, is because this fasting is from the legislations and the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which are a maslaha, a benefit for the creation in every time period, yani in the past and in the present. This is not something exclusive to a particular time period or a certain nation. Rather, this is something that is of benefit to every nation, to every people in every time period. Then the Shaykh says, وَفِيهِ تَنْشِيطِ لِهَذِهِ الْأُمَّةِ بِأَنَّهُ يَنْبَغِي لَكُمْ أَن تُنَافِسُوا غَيْرَكُمْ فِي تَكْمِيلِ الْعَامَالِ. Yani, in this obligation, making the fast of Ramadan obligatory, is a means of activation or energizing the ummah when they understand that it is incumbent, it is befitting of them to compete with the other nations in the completion and the perfection of doing good deeds. Yani, just as the other nations were obligated to fast, so also the ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has yani received the legislation of this obligation upon them, and in a sense there's an indication here that there should be competition in doing righteous deeds. So we should exert ourselves and try to excel and to fulfill this obligation of fasting in a more complete and perfect way than the nations before us. وَالْمُسَارِعَ إِلَى صَالِ الْخِصَالِ. And also that we hasten. Yani, in this command there is also an indication that we should hasten in trying to act upon yani the characteristics of righteousness. كُتِبَ عَلَيْكُمُ السِّيَامِ كَمَا كُتِبَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ. Yani, this is an encouragement that we hasten to act upon righteous characteristics. وَأَنَّهُ لَيْسَ مِنَ الْأُمُورَ الثَّقِيلَةِ الَّتِي اِخْتَصِيتُمْ بِهَا. Yani, and also mentioning that this obligation has been placed on the nations before us is an indication that this obligation to fast is not from the difficult affairs, al-umur al-thaqila, yani, which has been made exclusive to this ummah. Rather, it has been made an obligation on every people before us as well. So it's not something very, very difficult that we exclusively have been singled out to fulfill. Rather, every nation has been made legislated for them this obligation. Okay, this is the beginning of the first ayat. Kutiba alaykum as-siyam kama kutiba ala alladhina min qablikum. Yani, fasting has been made obligatory upon you as it has been made obligatory on the people before you. And in the end of the ayat, Allah says, la'allakum tattaqoon, so that you will achieve at-taqwa. Here the Shaykh says, at this point, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ذَكَرَ حِكْمَتَهُ فِي مَشْرُوعِيَّةِ الصِّيَامِ. Allah mentions, informs us, makes us to know what is the hikmah, what is the wisdom, the purpose, the objective of the legislation of fasting. He said, لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. It is so that you will achieve التَّقْوَى. Here the Shaykh mentions from amongst those things which show the hikmah, the purpose, the objective, the benefit of the legislation of fasting, he mentions five matters. And there are many more that he could have mentioned. Here he mentions five of the most important reasons or purposes or objectives behind the legislation of fasting, yani related to at-taqwa. لَعَلَّكُمْ تَتَّقُونَ. Five matters related to at-taqwa that are contained in the legislation of fasting. Indeed, fasting, فَإِنَّ السِّيَامِ مِنْ أَكْبَرْ أَسْبَابِ التَّقْوَى. Yani, from the wisdom of legislating fasting is that fasting is from the greatest causes or reasons or means to achieve a taqwa. And that is because within fasting there's امْتِثَال أَمْرِ اللَّهِ وَاجْتِنَاب نَهْيِهِ. Yani, this is because within the act of fasting, there is the compliance with the command of Allah and the avoidance of His prohibition. And some of the scholars define taqwa in a simple manner, that a taqwa is fulfilling Allah's commands and avoiding His prohibitions. So certainly in fasting contains this characteristic, both of compliance with Allah's commands, doing what Allah has commanded us to do, and avoiding that which Allah has prohibited. Here the Shaykh mentions the five points related to at-taqwa. Keeping in mind the taqwa, what? The essence of taqwa is fulfilling Allah's commands. If a person has taqwa, it will be manifested in them complying with Allah's commands and avoiding His prohibitions. فَمِمَّا اشْتَمَلَ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ التَّقْوَى. So that which is contained within fasting of taqwa, أَنَّ الصَّائِمْ يَتْرُكُ مَا حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ مِنَ الْأَكْلِ وَالشُّرْبِ وَالْجِمَاعِ وَنَحْوِهَا. Yani from those things that are contained and that are that fasting consists of, that related to taqwa, is that the fasting person abandons that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prohibited him from. Even though those things are normally permissible, but during the fast Allah made them haram. That is, for example, eating and drinking and marital relations with one's spouse and that which is similar to it. So, the fasting person avoiding what Allah has prohibited, even from amongst those things that Allah has normally allowed, yani this is from the characteristics of a taqwa, because remember, a taqwa yani includes fulfilling Allah's commands and avoiding His prohibitions. So here the Shaykh says, this is the first point. What fasting includes of taqwa is that the fasting person abandons what Allah has prohibited during the fast, eating and drinking and marital relations, which the nafs of the human being is inclined towards and desirous of. And the fasting person leaves these things, even though their nafs is calling for it, mutaqarriban bidhalika ila Allah, as a means of getting near to Allah. Rajiyan bitarkiha thawabahu, hoping in abandoning those things that Allah has prohibited at this time to earn his reward. فَهَذَا مِنَ التَّقْوَى. So this is an aspect of taqwa, that the person abandons what Allah has prohibited, even though their nafs is desirous of it, as a means of taqarrub, getting near to Allah, and in hope, by abandoning these things, of earning his reward. And we should remember the hadith of the Prophet ﷺ. The Shaykh didn't mention it here, but he mentioned other places, مَنْ صَامَ رَمَضَانَ إِيمَانًا وَاحْتِسَابًا غُفِرَ لَهُ مَا تَقَدَّمَ مِنْ ذَنْبِهِ. That whoever fasts in Ramadan with iman and ihtisab, hoping for the reward of Allah, then their previous sins would be forgiven. So here the point is what? That a person abandons these things as a means of nearness to Allah and in hope of getting his reward. So when one fasts, we must fast with iman, believing in Allah and that Allah has legislated this, and we must fast with ihtisab, having expectation, anticipation, and hope of earning Allah's reward. The second matter that the Shaykh mentions, وَمِنْهَا, yani from amongst those things that fasting entails, which is a part of taqwa, أَنَّ الصَّائِمْ يُدَرِّبُ نَفْسَهُ عَلَى مُرَاقَبَةِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. That the fasting person trains theirself to observe, yani to be conscious of the fact that Allah is watching. Al-muraqabah means that a person is conscious, is aware that Allah is watching, that Allah sees us, that Allah hears us, that He knows what we are doing. So the fasting person, by fasting, trains themselves upon this, yani consciousness, the muraqabah of Allah, فَيَتْرُكُ مَا تَهْوَى نَفْسُ. And as a result of that, knowing, being conscious that Allah is watching, he abandons that which his nafs desires, even though he has the ability to do it. Because of what? Because he knows that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching over him. So this is the second aspect of a taqwa that is, yani, a part of fasting, that the fasting person trains themselves to, yani, be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, muraqabatullah. And this consciousness of Allah enables the person to leave that which their nafs might desire or be inclined to, even though they have the ability to do it, but they refrain from doing it because of the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching over them. The third matter, from amongst those things that fasting entails of taqwa, is أَنَّ الصِّيَامْ يُضَيِّقُ مَجَارِ الشَّيْطَانِ فَإِنَّهُ يَجْرَى مِنْ إِبْنِ آدَمَ مَجْرَى الدَّمِ. That fasting restricts, tightens, or makes narrow the passageways of shaitan in the human being. For indeed, the shaitan travels through the human being by the passageways of blood, through the veins. The passageways through which his blood goes through his body, as the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in an authentic hadith, that shaitan travels through the human being just like his blood. So fasting restricts and tightens and narrows the passageways of shaitan. So by fasting, يَضْعُفُ نُفُوذُهُ وَتَقِلُّ مِنْهُ الْمَعَاصِي. And in this way, يعني, the fasting weakens the influence of shaitan, the effectiveness of shaitan of harming the human being, and causes the person to reduce their sinful behavior. And this is also a part of taqwa, يعني, abstaining from that which Allah has prohibited. The fourth point that the Shaykh mentions from amongst those things, that fasting includes from taqwa, أَنَّ الصَّائِمْ فِي الْغَالِبْ تُكْثَرُ طَاعَتُهُ وَالطَّاعَةِ مِنْ خِصَالِ التَّقْوَى. The fourth matter is what? That the fasting person, generally speaking, فِي الْغَالِبْ, most of the time the fasting person, most of the fasting people, increase in doing acts of obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani when people are fasting, they do more good deeds. They pray more, they pray in the masjid more in jama'ah, they pray the night prayers, they read Qur'an more, dhikr du'a, people are more charitable. Yani generally, al-ghalib, yani generally the fasting person increases in acts of obedience, and doing acts of obedience, as we said, is from the characteristics of at-taqwa. The fifth matter that the Shaykh mentions, very important matter, every one of us should try to be conscious of it, especially in this day and time, in the present circumstances of the affliction that has befallen the earth and the hardships that the people are being subjected to. Some people out of work, many people without means of sustenance, not able to go about and take care of their needs. The Shaykh says, وَمِنْهَا أَنَّ الْغَنِي إِذَا ذَاقَ أَلَمَ الْجُوعِ أَوْجَبَ لَهُ ذَلِكَ مُوَاسَاتْ الْفُقَرَاءِ وَالْمُعْدِمِينَ. وهذا من خصال التقوى. يعني the fifth thing the Shaykh said is that the rich, the wealthy, the people who have more than their needs, and you don't have to be rich like wealthy, millionaire, but the people who are ghani, meaning they have what suffice their own needs and they have extra beyond that. يعني this person who has more than their needs, when they, because they are not needy, because they have their needs are fulfilled, so they don't know, they don't generally feel the hardship, yani of being without, because they have the means to eat as much as they like, whenever they like, whatever they like. So the one who is in this condition, when that person experiences the pain and the difficulty of hunger that they don't normally experience, this necessitates, yani this experience necessitates that they are going to be more charitable with the poor and the needy and the destitute. And this is also from the characteristics of a taqwa. After this, we go to the following ayat from Surah Al-Baqarah, 184th ayat, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, أَيَّامًا مَعْدُودَاتٍ, yani a fixed number of days. Here the Shaykh says, وَلَمَّا ذَكَرَ أَنُّهُ فَرَضَ عَلَيْهِمَ الصِّيَامِ أَخْبَرَ أَنُّهُ أَيَّامٍ مَعْدُودَاتٍ أي قَلِيلَةٌ فِي غَيَةِ السَّهُولَةِ. That when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it obligatory, the fast, when He made it obligatory, He also informs us that it is ayyam and ma'dudat, yani just a fixed number of days. It's not unlimited, yani non-stop, unending. Rather, a fixed number of days, ayyam and ma'dudat, meaning just a few days, extremely easy to fulfill. ثم سهل تسهيلا آخر فقال فمن كان منكم مريضا أو على سفر فعدة من أيام أخرى. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives a further ease, another ease and facility when He said, so whoever from amongst you is sick or on a journey traveling, فعدة من أيام أخرى. Then that person, yani can break their fast while they are sick or while they are traveling, فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخْرَى, and they can make up the number of days that they broke the fast, they can make up the fast of those days from other days, yani outside of Ramadan. They can do it later. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, first He informs us that this obligatory fast of Ramadan is only for a few days, a fixed number of days. And secondly, if a person is sick or has some difficulty due to traveling, then Allah has given further ease in that He has given them the permission to break the fast during that time of difficulty, sickness or travel, and to make up those days after the month of Ramadan, later on when they are in ease. The reason for this second facility, وَذَلِكَ لِمَشَقَّةٍ فِي الْغَالِبِ, yani that is because when a person is sick, or when a person is traveling, there is some difficulty and hardship involved, yani in that, at that time. رَخَّصَ اللَّهُ لَهُمَا فِي الْفَتْرَةِ. And for this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a rukhsa, yani a special allowance or permission for these two, yani the sick person who is experiencing difficulty, who would experience difficulty in fasting, as well as the person who is traveling. If they experience difficulty in traveling, during travel and fasting, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them a rukhsa, He has given them a permission to break the fast and make up the days later. وَلَمَّا كَانَ لَبُدَّ مِنْ حُصُولِ مَصْلَحَةِ الصِّيَامِ لِكُلِّ مُؤْمِنِ أَمْرَهُمَا أَيَقْضِيَاهُ فِي أَيَامٍ أُخْرَى. Then the Shaykh says, and in light of the fact that it is a necessity, there is no escape, yani it is a necessity that every believer must, yani, have the benefit of this maslaha of fasting. Yani there is a great benefit in fasting. So that no person will be left without this benefit. So if a person experienced hardship and they were unable to fast due to sickness or traveling, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has commanded them to make up those days that they missed in other days. Iddatin fa'iddatun min ayyamin ukhra. To make up the same number of days that they broke the fast, yani during another time after the month of Ramadan. That is, idha zal al-marg, when the sickness has ceased, when qada al-safar, and the travel has been completed, وَحَصَلَتَ الرَّاحَةَ, and the person has achieved yani rest and comfort, at that time, yani then they can make up the days that they missed of Ramadan due to sickness or traveling. Here the Shaykh says, concerning the expression, the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَإِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخْرَى. And whoever is sick or on a journey, then إِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخْرَى. Then make up the number of days from other days. في دليل على أنه يقضي عدد أيام رمضان كاملا كان أو ناقصا. In this is an indication that the days that have to be made up are the same number of days of that Ramadan, whether that Ramadan was complete 30 days or it was يعني less than 30 days, 29 days. Then that is what they will make up. Whatever number of days Ramadan was, يعني if they missed the whole month, then they'll make up that number of days complete as 30 or 29, depending on how many days the month of Ramadan was that year. In this, عِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخْرَى, يعني the same number of days. وَعَلَى أَنَّهُ يَجُوزُ أَنْ يَقْضِيَ أَيَّامًا قَصِيرَةً بَارِدَةً عَنْ أَيَّامٍ طَوِيلَةً حَارَةٍ كَالْأَكْسِ. And also, فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخْرَى, this is a general expression that they have to make up the days from other days later on. This is also an indication that it is permissible to make up days, to make up the days of fasting when the days are going to be short and the temperature is good and the weather is going to be cool, easy. They can make up days that during Ramadan may have been long and hot days. They can wait until it's cool, yani until it's the season in the year, like in the winter time when the days are shorter. It's permissible to do this, yani just like it's permissible to do the opposite. Yani if Ramadan came in the winter time when the days are short and the weather is cool and comfortable, a person can make them up any days later on, even in the hotter season and in the longer days. Yani meaning that making up the days are any days, yani outside of Ramadan. Of course, it is better to make up the days as soon as a person is able, because it's an obligation. And when a person has an obligation, they shouldn't delay it. Perhaps they might get sick again, they might be traveling again, they might die and not make up those days that would fall as an obligation upon them. If they had been able to make them up and they didn't, and due to delaying, then they will be called to account for that. Allahu a'lam. Then the Shaykh goes on to explain the remainder of this ayat. Yani after Allah said, yani that fasting is made obligatory upon you and it's only a fixed number of days, and whoever is sick or on a journey can make up the days later, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُطِيقُونَهُ فِدْيَةٌ طَعَامُ مِسْكِينَ. And it is obligatory upon those who يُطِيقُونَ, يعني who are able to fast. And the Shaykh is going to explain what this means. then what is obligatory upon them if they don't fast is the fidya, expiation for every day that they didn't fast feeding a poor person. For every day that they didn't fast, they have to expiate for that day by feeding a poor person. The Shaykh says, وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُتِيقُونَكُ those who are able to fast, they have to, if they don't fast, but they're able, then they have to make up for that by expiate for it by feeding a poor person. He said, this was, يعني وَهَذَا فِي إِبْتِدَاءِ فَرْضَ الصِّيَامِ. This was when Siyam was first made obligatory. يعني in the beginning when the legislation first came upon the people, وَلَمَّا كَانُوا غَيْرُ مُعْتَادِينَ لِلصِّيَامِ. When the people were not accustomed yet to fasting. وَكَانَ فَرْضُهُ حَتْمًا فِيهِ مَشَقَّةٌ عَلَيْهِ. And it was definitely, يعني inevitably, the fast was going to be something that was going to be فِيهِ مَشَقَّةٌ, was going to be difficult for them. Because they hadn't been accustomed to fasting. When the legislation came, the obligation of fasting first came, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, knowing that it was going to be a hardship on them, دَرَّجَهُمْ الرَّبِّ الْحَكِيمِ. يعني the wise, our wise Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has made it gradual by degrees, step by step. Yani he didn't make it obligatory upon everyone who was able in the beginning. Rather, he encouraged them to fast, but he gave them an option. If they found difficulty, then they could yani feed a fast person instead of fasting. So he used the ashal tariq, the easiest way. وَخَيْرَ الْمُطِيقِ لِلسَّوْمِ بَيْنَ أَنْ يَسُومُ وَهُوَ أَفْضَلْ أَوْ أَنْ يُطْهِمْ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave a choice to the mutiq, the person who was able to fast. And in the beginning, when they were not accustomed to fasting and they found hardship in it, He gave those people who were actually able to fast, they were not sick or anything, they were able to fast, He gave them the choice between fasting, and this was preferable and better, or, yani, the other option was to feed a poor person for every day that they didn't fast. And for this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, after that, وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُتِيقُونَهُ فِدْيَةٌ طَعَامُ الْمِسْكِينَ وَأَنْ تَصُومُوا خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. But if you fasted, even though you have an option here, in the beginning, if you have fasted, then this is better for you. Then after this, يعني in the later period of time, after the people became accustomed to fasting, ثُمَّ بَعْدِ ذَلِكَ جَعَلَ الصِّيَامَ حَتْمًا عَلَى الْمُطِيقِ وَغَيْرِ الْمُطِيقِ يُفْتِرْ وَيَقْدِهِ فِي أَيَامٍ أُخْرَى. Then in the later period of time, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it mandatory, a mandatory injunction on those who are able. Then they must fast. They don't have any choice now to fast or feed a poor person. Rather, it's obligatory for them to fast. And those who are not able to fast, غير مطيق, then this person is the one who is allowed to break the fast and to make it up, yani, at another time when they become able, when they become well, or when they are not traveling any longer, and so on. The Shaykh, it says, well, it has also been said that the meaning of this particular ayah, وَعَلَى الَّذِينَ يُتِيقُونَهُ, of these words, is يَتَكَلَّفُونَهُ. Yani, those who are able to fast, but it is difficult upon them. It's like hard. It's not going to be easy to fast. عَلَى الَّذِينَ يُتِيقُونَهُ doesn't just mean those who are able. Rather, it means here, yani, this is a second view. That the meaning of يُتَيْقُونَهُ is the people who are able to fast, but with great difficulty. يَشُقُّ عَلَيْهِمْ مَشَقَّةً غَيْرَ مُحْتَمِلَةً. Yani, it is a hardship on them that's not bearable. Then these are the people who, yani, are addressed here, that they can expiate by feeding a poor person for every day they don't fast. He says here, for example, the Shaykh al-Kabir, the elderly person who's old and finds really real hardship in fasting, then these are the people who are allowed to expiate for every day that they didn't fast by feeding a poor person. Shaykh says, وَهَذَا هُوَ الصَّحِيحِ. Yani, this is the real meaning of يعني عَلَى الَّذِينَ يُتِيقُونَهَا. It doesn't just mean everybody who's able to fast. Rather, he said, it means those people who are able to fast, but with يعني hardship. With hardship, it was unbearable, and it was really extremely hard. These were the people who had the choice to either feed a poor person or to fast. After this, we go to the next ayat, ayat 285. The saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. That the month of Ramadan, the month in which the Quran was revealed, was sent down. Yani the beginning of the revelation of the Quran was in the month of Ramadan as a guidance for humanity. وَبَيِّنَاتْ مِنَ الْهُدَىٰ and clear evidence and proofs of the guidance. والفرقان and a criterion between truth and falsehood, right and wrong, and so on. شهر رمضان الذي أنزل في القرآن the month of Ramadan in which the Quran was revealed. Meaning here, the fast which has been made obligatory upon you, that fast is going to be in the شهر رمضان, the month of Ramadan. الشهر العظيم, the tremendous, magnificent month. الَّذِي قَدْ حَصَلَ لَكُمْ فِيهِ مِنَ اللَّهِ الْفَضْلُ الْعَظِيمُ the month in which a tremendous, great virtue, excellence, yani a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was given to the believers in that month. And what is that great favor, الْفَضْلُ الْعَظِيمُ هُوَ الْقُرْآنُ الْكَرِيمُ yani the revelation of the Qur'an. This is the month in which the fasting has been made obligatory upon you. The month in which the Qur'an was sent down. Yani that Qur'an which contains al-hidayah, guidance, لِمَصَالِحِكُمْ الدِّينِيَ وَالدُّنْيَوِيَ يعني guidance for you in those things that are in your well-being or your interests, whether in your religious affairs or in your worldly affairs. The Qur'an is a guidance for everything that benefits you in religious affairs as well as in worldly affairs. And also this Qur'an, الْمُشْتَمِلَ عَلَى هِدَايَةِ it also contains يعني تبيين الحق بأوضح بيان the clarification of the truth in the most يعني in the clearest possible manner, clarification of what is الحق والفرقان بين الحق والباطل والهدى والضلال وأهل السعادة وأهل الشقاوة and it also is a criterion to distinguish between truth and falsehood and to distinguish between right guidance and misguidance and to distinguish between the أهل السعادة the people يعني the fortunate ones, the people who earn the pleasure of Allah in Jannah, and the أهل الشقاوة, the unfortunate ones, the people who earn يعني the displeasure of Allah and the hellfire. So, here in this ayah, شهر رمضان الذي أنزل في القرآن, the meaning is that this month of Ramadan, it is the month, يعني the month, the fasting is in the month of Ramadan in which this great virtue was given to the people, that is the revelation of the Qur'an. This is the month in which fasting has been made obligatory upon you. Yani the month in which this Qur'an, which contained guidance for the best of all of your affairs, your worldly and religious affairs, clarification of the truth, and a criterion between truth and falsehood, right guidance and misguidance, and the people, yani of paradise and the people of the hellfire. فَحَقِيقٌ بِشَعْرٍ هَذَا فَضْلُهُ وَهَذَا إِحْسَانُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ فِيهِ أَنْ يَكُونُوا مَوْسِمًا لِلْعِبَادِ مَفْرُودًا فِيهِ الصِّيَامِ So it is befitting of a month which this is its station or its status or its excellence. And a month in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has been kind to the people by sending down the Qur'an as a guidance for them, it is befitting that this month be a mawsim, a season, a period of time for the worshippers, a period of time in which fasting is made obligatory upon them. And this is a very important time in the year, the time, yani the month in which the Qur'an was revealed, and therefore it is befitting that it be a season for the worshippers in which fasting is made obligatory upon them. And when Allah has decided and finalized the matter and made clear the excellence, yani of fasting and the wisdom behind choosing the month of Ramadan, when Allah decided and finalized the matter of making obligatory the fasting during the month of Ramadan, and Allah clarified its excellence, yani the excellence of the month of Ramadan, and He clarified the wisdom or the reason behind which, yani the month of Ramadan has been chosen for this special, yani affair, the affair of fasting taking place in that month. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمُ So therefore, whoever from amongst you is present, resident, yani when the month of Ramadan comes, then it is obligatory. Fell yasumhu. Then it, now it is obligatory upon that person to fast. Not like before, when the people had a choice between either fasting or feeding. Now here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, now after mentioning this, yani the excellence of this month and the wisdom behind choosing it, Allah says, so whoever is present during this month of Ramadan, resident during this month of Ramadan, then it is obligatory upon them to fast. The Shaykh says, this is fihi ta'yin as-siyam ala al-qadir as-sahih al-hadir. Yani here in this ayat, فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ fal yasum, then he must fast. This here is identifying and specifying that the fast is made obligatory upon the qadir, the one who is able to fast, and who is physically able to fast. Was sahih, the one who is in good health, not sick, and the hadir, yani the one who is present, not traveling. So this ayat is what? A clarification and specification that it is mandatory now, obligatory, for whoever is present during that month, they are not traveling, they are not sick, and they are able to fast, then they must fast. And then Allah follows that with His saying, وَمَنْ كَانَ مَرِيضًا أَوْ عَلَىٰ سَفَرٍ فَعِدَّةٌ مِنْ أَيَّامٍ أُخْرَىٰ. Yani almost the same words that He mentioned earlier on, Allah repeats those words. So whoever was sick or on a journey, then he must make up the same number of days that he has broken the fast in at another time later on after Ramadan. The Shaykh says, وَلَمَّا كَانَ النُّسْكُ لِلتَّخْيِيرِ. So when Allah abrogated the having the choice between either fasting or feeding a poor person, then this choice between fasting or feeding a poor person, He said when He abrogated this, and this abrogation was specific to some of the people, not all of the people, then Allah repeats the rukhsa, the permission that He gave for the sick person and the traveling person. Yani he mentions that permission again after He abrogated, yani the original legislation that the people had a choice to either fast or to feed a poor person. Then Allah abrogated that, but now He repeats the permission that's special for the sick person and the traveler, so that a person would not imagine that permission for the traveler and the sick person has been abrogated. So the person will not imagine that has been abrogated. Allah, after He says everybody must fast, and whoever is present during the month of Ramadan must fast, then He says, but there's a special permission, yani exempt from this are the sick and the traveler. Then Allah says, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ. Allah wants, intends for you ease. He does not intend for you difficulty. Allah, the Most High, يعني يريد الله تعالى أن ييسر عليكم الطرق الموصلة إلى رضوانه أعظم تيسير ويسهلها أشد التسهيل. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala intends to make easy the ways, the paths that will lead you to earning His good pleasure. Allah wants to make this easy for you. يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ. He wants to make it easy for you to earn His pleasure. He does not want to make it difficulty. He wants to give you every possible ease. وَلِهَذَا كَانَ جَمِيعُ مَا أَمْرَ اللَّهُ بِهِ عِبَادَهُ فِي غَايَةِ السَّهُولَةِ فِي أَصْلِهِ. And for this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in everything that He has commanded His worshippers with, there's the greatest ease in the original ruling. And everything that Allah has commanded the people with is originally easy. وَإِذَا حَصَلَتْ بَعْضُ أَوَارِدُ الْمُوجِبَ لِثِقَلِهِ صَحَّلَهُ تَسْهِيلًا آخَرَ. But if special circumstances arose for any individual or group of people, some special circumstances, yani unusual circumstances, not the norm, outside of the norm, that necessitate or make the legislation become difficult because of those people's conditions, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them ease. And this is in the general legislation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not only in fasting. Everything that He has legislated is originally easy. If somebody has some special circumstance that arose in their life, then Allah has given further ease. إِمَّا بِإِسْقَاطِهِ أَوْ تَخْفِيفِهِ بِأَنْوَاءَ التَّخْفِيفَاتِ. Then either Allah has يعني relieve them of that responsibility outright, or he has reduced يعني the responsibility upon that person to make it easy for them. Either Allah has eliminated that responsibility under certain circumstances, or Allah has at least reduced the responsibility to make it easy for them. وَهَذَا جُمْلَةٌ لَا يُمْكُنْ تَفْصِيلُهُ. And this particular affair of how Allah has granted ease in what He has legislated originally, and further facilities or ease يعني under special circumstances, he said that this particular topic is not possible to mention in detail, because the details of it include everything that Allah has legislated. And a part of that is every يعني رخصة, every permission and every تخفيف, every facility that Allah has mentioned. This is a subject within itself. So the Shaykh said the details of this we're not going to talk about. And then he goes to the end of the ayat, يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ بِكُمُ الْيُسْرَ وَلَا يُرِيدُ بِكُمُ الْعُسْرَ وَلِتُكْمِلُوا الْعِدَّةِ وَلِتُكَبِّرُوا اللَّهَ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. He says, وَلِتُكْمِلُوا الْعِدَّةِ, and that you complete the number. And the Shaykh says here, هَذَا وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ لِأَلَّا يَتَوَحَّمُ الْمُتَوَحَّمُ أَنَّ صِيَامَ رَمَضَانَ يَحْصُلُ الْمَقْصُودُ مِنْهُ بِبَعْضِهِ دفع هذا الوهم بالأمر بالتكميل عدته. يعني that here the Shaykh says Allah knows best, it appears to him that this ولتكمل العدة, these words that you must complete the number of days يعني that you missed, is so that nobody will imagine that the fast of Ramadan is what is intended by the maqsood, the objective of the fast of Ramadan could be achieved by some of it. يعني a person fasting some of those days, half of those days or most of those days, nobody should imagine that the objective, the maqsood, what is intended by the fast of Ramadan would be achieved by just fasting some of the month of Ramadan. Rather, the whole of it has to be completed. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has removed yani this possibility of somebody misunderstanding this by commanding بِتَكْمِيلْ عِدَّتِهِ, that He commanded us that the number of days must be completed. Whether it's 29 or 30 days, it has to be complete. وَيَشْكُرُ اللَّهُ, and then in the end of the ayat, Allah says, وَلِتُكَبِّرُ اللَّهُ عَلَى مَا هَدَاكُمْ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. يعني, and that you must magnify and glorify Allah for what He has guided you to, and that you be, so that you will be thankful, grateful, appreciative. Here the Shaykh says, يَشْكُرُ اللَّهُ تَعَالَى عِنْدَ إِحْمَامِ, and that a person must express gratitude, appreciation, thankfulness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the time of completing yani the fast of Ramadan. When a person has completed the whole of the month of fasting, a person must be thankful and express their gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that it is He who has given them the tawfiq, the success in completing it, وَتَسْهِيل, and the ease in completing it, and the يعني تبيين, in clarifying the affair for his worshippers, and therefore a person should express their gratitude, and that they must also magnify and glorify Allah at the time of the completion of this month. And here the Shaykh says that this takbir, this glorification or magnification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the completion of the month, يدخل في ذلك التكبير عند رؤية الهلال هلال شوال إلى فراض خطبة العيد. يعني that a part of this يعني included in this takbir at the end of the month of Ramadan is the takbir that begins at the time of the sighting of the new moon for the month of Shawwal. Once that new moon is sighted, يعني marking the first day of Shawwal or the first night of Shawwal, then the takbir glorifying Allah, magnifying Allah, saying Allahu Akbar in the public and in the private, in the homes, in the street, in the marketplaces, wherever a person is at, يعني saying the takbir in an audible voice is legislated from the time of the sighting of the Hilal, the new moon of Shawwal, until the completion of the khutbah of Eid. Okay, so this is, I don't know if we have enough time for Ayat 2186. Let's do it, even though there were some advices that we wanted to read, but we'll try to go through the remaining Ayat of Tafsir. We'll stop with this Ayat and then end with some brief advices and reminders of the Sunan of fasting. The next ayat from Surah Al-Baqarah 186, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. And if my worshippers, Allah is saying to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, if my worshippers ask you about me, فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. Allah Himself answers this question. He said, indeed, I am near, yani by his knowledge. Ujibu da'wat ad-da'i idha da'an, I answer the supplication of the one who supplicates if he supplicates to me. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُ لِي, so he must then respond to me. وَلْيُؤْمِنُ بِي, and he must then believe in me, or they must respond to me and they must believe in me. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ, so that they will be guided. And this is the last ayah that we want to take, 186. This is the answer. The Shaykh says this is the answer to a question that some of his companions asked him, the Prophet ﷺ, and they said to him, O Messenger of Allah, أَقَرِيبٌ رَبُّنَا فَنُنَاجِيهِ أَمْ بَعِيدٌ فَنُنَادِيهِ, is our Rabb near so we can speak to him like in private conversation, or is he far so we should call out to him in a loud voice? So at this time Allah revealed, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِ عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ, so if my worshippers ask you about me, then let them know I am near, I am not far. They don't need to shout and scream out to me, rather they can have a private conversation with me. لِأَنَّهُ تَعَالَى الرَّقِيبُ, يعني Allah is near, because what, he is الرَّقِيبُ, the one who is watching over. الشَّهِيد, the one who is witnessing everything. المطلع على السر وأخفى ويعلم خائنة الأعين وما تخفي الصدور, because Allah is subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is the one who is aware of the secrets and that which is yani even more secret, and he knows even yani the signals that a person makes with their eyes secretly, yani winking at somebody or blinking to someone, signaling, yani trying to express something secretly. Allah knows all of this. He knows the secrets of the hearts. فَهُوَ قَرِيبٌ, yani so he's near in this sense, yani that he is al-raqib, al-shaheed, al-muttaliya, the one who is watching, who's witnessing, who's aware, who knows everything, the secret, and that which is more secret than it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of this. فَهُوَ قَرِيب أَيْدًا مِنْ دَعِيهِ بِالْإِجَابَةِ, and he is also near to the one who calls upon him, yani near in terms of responding to their call, to their request. And for this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَإِنِّي قَرِيب أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ, and I answer the call of the one who calls upon me if he calls. Allah is near in his knowledge, knowing and seeing and witnessing whatever we do, even secretly, and he's also near and responding to the one who calls upon him. Then the Shaykh says, الدُّعَى نَوْعَانِ, dua is of two types, dua al-ibadah, dua ibadatin wa dua mas'alatin. Yani we just covered this in the course that we just did about the greatest dua, but anyway, we just mention it briefly. Dua is of two types, dua of ibadah. Yani the dua that actually, it doesn't entail necessarily speech, but rather it's worship that a person does, yani as a means to get near to Allah to achieve whatever they are seeking from him. And then there's dua mas'ala, where a person sa'ala, yas'al, ask Allah in words what it is that they want from him. Then the Shaykh says, and likewise al-qurb naw'an, yani Allah is inni qareeb, he said being near is also of two types. Qurb bi'ilmihi min kulli khalqihi, there's the nearness, that nearness, Allah is near by his knowledge of everything in his creation. وَقُرْبٌ مِنْ عَابِدِهِ وَدَاعِيهِ بِالْإِجَابَةِ وَالْمَعُونَ وَالتَّوْفِيقِ, and he is also near to his worshippers and those who call upon him by answering them and by aiding them and by granting them tawfiq, success. Two types of nearness. Allah is near to all of his creatures by his knowledge, and Allah is near to those who worship him and call upon him. He answers them, he helps and supports them, and he gives them success. So whoever, the Shaykh closes here, and this is near the end, last paragraph. So whoever calls upon Allah with qalbun hadir, with a heart that is present, consciousness of that they're calling upon Allah, wa du'a'an mashru', and with a supplication that's in accordance with what Allah has legislated, not supplicating in a manner or supplicating for something that is contrary to what Allah has legislated. وَلَمْ يَمْنَعْ مَانِعٌ مِنْ إِجَابَةِ الدُّعَى, and there is nothing to prevent the response to their dua. A person calls upon Allah with presence of heart and mind, and they supplicate with a legislated supplication, and there is nothing that they're doing that prevents their supplication from being answered. Like, for example, they're eating that which is haram, or drinking that which is haram, or wearing that which is haram, and what is similar to this, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has promised that he will respond, especially if that person brings those causes or those reasons or those things which are the means of answering their dua. Especially if the person does those things which are the means of answering their dua. And in this ayat, they are the greatest means of yani the things that are the causes of dua being answered, and that is al-istijaba lillahi ta'ala wal-inqiyad li-awamirihi wa nawahi al-qawliya wal-fi'liya. That is answering Allah, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I answer those who call upon me, فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي. So therefore they must answer me, وَيُؤْمِنُوا بِي, and they must believe in me, لَعَلَّهُمْ يُرْشِدُونَ. Here the Shaykh says, فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي, yani this is from yani the things that are the greatest cause of a dua being answered, that is answering Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by complying with His commands and His prohibitions, whether they are qawliya or fi'liya, speech or actions. And the second thing, al-iman bihi, having faith, true faith in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is that which necessitates Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala responding to the request of the one who calls upon Him. And for this reason, Allah said in this ayat, فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشَدُونَ. So therefore they must respond to me, they must answer my call, and they must believe in me, and then in this way they will be guided. That is, they will achieve rushd, right guidance, the guidance which is al-hidayah, guiding them to al-iman and al-a'mal al-salihah. Yani then a person will achieve yani true iman, they will be guided to iman, and they will be guided to doing righteous deeds. وَيُزُولُ عَنْهُمْ الْغَيْءِ الْمُنَافِلِ الْإِيمَانِ وَالْعَامَلِ الصَّالِحَ, and it will be removed from them, yani misguidance, that which is contrary to iman and righteous deeds. And this is because al-iman in Allah and answering, complying with Allah's commands, answering His call, is a cause or a reason for also achieving knowledge, yani so that a person would be rightly guided. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, يَا يُلَذِينَ آمَنُوا إِن تَتَّقُوا اللَّهِ يَجْعَلْ لَكُمْ فُرْقَانًا. O you who believe, if you observe taqwa of Allah, then He will make for you a criterion, yani knowledge of what is right and what is wrong, and enabling a person to distinguish between that which is right and that which is wrong. This is the end of the tafsir that we wanted to read for today. And in the few moments that remain, we're just going to go over a couple of points of reminders. Reminders related to fasting specifically. Yani this particular topic is very important, and it should yani have sessions of its own, but we don't have the ability to do that at this time. I'm just going to read quickly some advice from Shaykh Ibn Baz, rahimahullah, al-Imam Ibn Baz. He said it is legislated in this month of Ramadan for the Muslims to strive hard in various types of worship. He said they should strive to pray voluntary prayers, yani not just a Taraweeh prayer, but other voluntary prayers, Sunnah prayers during the day and the night. They should strive to recite the Quran with reflection and contemplation on what they are reciting. And they should increase in glorification of Allah, saying, Subhanallah, La ilaha illallah, Alhamdulillah, Allahu Akbar, and Astaghfirullah. And they should say the legislated supplications that are legislated in the Quran and Sunnah. They should enjoin the good and forbid the wrong. They should call to Allah, yani engage in da'wah during this month of Ramadan. They should be generous to the poor and the needy. Generous to the poor and the needy, especially in this time of fasting in Ramadan. They should strive to be kind to their parents. Parents, think about your parents at this time if they're living. They should keep good family ties, yani even with their non-Muslim relatives. They should honor their neighbor. They should visit the sick and do all types of other good deeds. And the Shaykh went on to say that Allah is the one yani who is asked to help us and to help the rest of the Muslims to do all that contains His pleasure and to accept our fast and our standing in the night. And we ask Him to correct our situations and protect us from the deviations of trials and temptations. And likewise, we ask Him to make the leaders of the Muslims righteous and to unite their word upon the truth. Verily, Allah is the guardian of that, and He is capable of doing it. This was from Shaykh Ibn Baz. Just quickly, I'm going to highlight some of the Sunnah practices without the evidences because of the time that we have remaining. From the Sunnah practices of the fast of Ramadan specifically, number one is eating the pre-dawn meal, the sahur. The Prophet ﷺ said that there is blessing in sahur. And that the difference between our fasting and that of the people of the book is the sahur. Second thing, delaying the sahur meal until just before the break of dawn. And it is narrated from the prophets, from the companions, Zayd ibn Thabit, that we ate suhoor with the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and immediately after we ate, we got up to offer the Fajr prayer. I asked what was the time between the adhan and the suhoor. He said the time it would take to recite 50 verses, meaning that the time between taking the suhoor and the fajr prayer, yani there was no time, it was just a few minutes, yani enough time to eat the suhoor. Number three, hastening to break the fast when once one is sure that the sun is actually set, yani even if we didn't wait for the muezzin to call the adhan, if he delayed in calling it, a person should hasten to break the fast once they are certain that the fast has been broken, that the sun has set. The people, yani the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith in Bukhari Muslim, that the people, meaning the Muslims, will remain upon good as long as they hasten to break the fast. Breaking the fast with fresh dates before performing the prayer. And this is from the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, whoever has fresh dates should break their fast with fresh dates, whoever doesn't, then dry dates, if not, then water. And this is also reported authentically. The fifth from the sunnah, of the important sunnahs, is supplicating at the time of breaking the fast. Not only at the time of breaking the fast, but even at the time of fasting, throughout the fasting day, yani it is legislated that a person should engage in supplicating to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number six, feeding a fasting person. Whoever gives someone something to break the fast with, he would have the reward similar to the reward of the fasting person, and this would not reduce the reward of the fasting person in any way. Reported by Ahmad al-Tirmidhi, Ibn Majah, Ibn Hibban, Shaykh al-Albani said that it's sahih. The seventh sunan, very important sunan of Ramadan, being eager to perform Salatul Qiyam. Yani performing the Salatul Qiyam, as the Prophet ﷺ said, whoever stands in the night of Ramadan with iman and ihtisab, yani expectation and anticipation of Allah's reward, all his previous sins would be given. And the eighth point of the sunan is standing in Salatul Qiyam with the imam until he completes the prayer. And the Prophet ﷺ said in an authentic narration, whoever prays Qiyam with the imam until he finishes the prayer, until he leaves from the prayer, it will be recorded as if he spent the whole night in prayer. Number nine, increasing one's good deeds, sadaqah, dhikr, reading Quran and so on. And it has been reported that the Prophet ﷺ said in an authentic narration, when the first night of the month of Ramadan comes, a caller calls out, O seeker of good, come forth. O seeker of evil, desist, go back. So hastening and yani increasing one's good deeds in this month, and finally restraining the tongue from false speech and its actions. Abu Huraira narrated from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in a hadith reported by Al-Bukhari, whoever does not give up false speech, lying, slander and so on, and acting upon that false speech and acting ignorantly, Allah has no need of that person giving up their food and the drink, meaning that Allah doesn't accept it. Okay, we still have 2 minutes, inshallah. Some quick advices. Make sure that your food and your drink be halal in order that your deeds be accepted and your supplication be answered. Beware of fasting from the lawful. Yani a person abstains from that which is lawful, food and drink that's lawful, and then breaking the fast with that which is unlawful, such as smoking and backbiting. Whoever eats something due to forgetfulness must continue to fast, and there is no need to make up the day. It is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who has given them to eat and to drink. The fourth matter is guard your tongue from lying, cursing, backbiting and tale-bearing. Surely these things decrease the reward of fasting, and as Shaykh al-Uthaymeen said, perhaps it may invalidate it. Allah only accepts from the muttaqeen, the people who observe taqwa, yani who avoid the haram and who fulfill the obligatory duties. Number five, beware of wasting your time without performing good deeds during this month. Try not to waste your time in anything that is not doing good deeds that are pleasing to Allah and yani, enabling you to become near to Him. Certainly you will be questioned about your time and you will be called to account for it, and you will be rewarded for whatever deeds you have done yani, of good. Don't let the fast cause you to transgress the bounds yani, with improper behavior. Sometimes people become aggravated and short-tempered due to fasting, and then they make an excuse that they are fasting. This is not an excuse for ill behavior. Also, this is a time for sincere repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, abandoning sinful behavior, regretting what you have done, being determined not to return to that behavior in the future, and consider Ramadan as a turning point, the point of change in one's life. Spending in the way of Allah, indeed Ramadan is a month of charity and generosity, and we ask Allah by His most beautiful names and lofty characteristics to make us of those who are foremost in doing of good deeds and who are far removed from all types of evil. May Allah grant each of us understanding of this deen as well as the application of it in our lives, and make us firm and steadfast upon it until we meet Him on the Day of Judgment in a condition yani, in which we are pleasing to Him and pleased with Him. Indeed, Allah is the generous and the bountiful. And this is the end of what we wanted to cover for today. Inshallah, next week we will probably begin with a topic that we'll cover for the rest of the month of Ramadan, and that is yani the effect of the Quran on the rectification and purification of the heart. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.